Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I'm Andy Dawson.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney. So what?
Welcome along a Monday morning episode. Anything good this weekend, Sam?
Well, I've been playing a huge amount of Monopoly recently.
Well, I wasn't expecting that.
This weekend, me and Len have played Monopoly almost non-stop. We go through phases of it, and then
Standard Monopoly or one of the variants?
Standard London
standard
Monopoly.
Adult Monopoly.
Yeah. Adult.
Not kids Monopoly. Yeah.
Oh, no. Adult, proper full rules, the lengthy version that goes on all fucking day. Right?
Yeah. Okay.
But we get through like about a game and a half a day. We have, like, several tea breaks. And what we worked out a system of, like, you know, you just have the football on and you play, like, on a small table in front of the telly. And it's fucking great because you're watching the foot. Obviously, if it's your own, if it's West Ham, you can't have distractions. But for the other games, you don't mind playing a bit of Monopoly, watching the game. Do you know what we got into between that? Sticking on CNN, mate. Because, like, Len's just obsessed with statistics. So once I taught him about the Electoral College and the different numbers that each state get, it kind of ties in. If a kid's into football or sport and all the data that goes with it, kind of gets into it, like knowing which state is how many Electoral College votes and stuff. Mm. Plus, the main thing is, I don't know if you watched much American news last week and over the weekend.
Sam,
I don't.
CNN is the channel I've watched more than any other over the past 4 years.
Fucking CNN, mate. Well, please, welcome me now to your world, because CNN is the best channel in the world.
Yeah.
Not often, and this makes him sound like a spod, but it's not in that spirit. Do you get an 8-year-old saying, Oscar, stick on CNN, mate, right? Because he couldn't believe it was news. Because any encounter he's had with news is like, you know, the fucking BBC or something, right? And it's just sort of, it's posh, it's alienating, it's dull, right? To the extent that you almost, I've always thought that news journalism, television news journalism, especially BBC and things, is like almost willfully alienating, I think, in some ways. Like, it kind of excludes people because you look and you think, you only really watch that if you kind of went to Oxford or Cambridge. Do you know what I mean? I know that's
the news.
I know it's wrong to think that, but everyone's quite posh and blah, blah, blah. The fucking CNN, when he said, what's this? Is this a sports program? I said, no, this is the news. They're talking about the election, mate. He went, It's like Sky Sports. I said, exactly.
Yeah.
Every graphic's like, right?
Yeah.
Fucking people
numbers,
crying.
Numbers.
People fucking crying, people shouting. Everyone's beautiful, or if not beautiful, then certainly extraordinary looking. They're kind of extraordinary.
Yeah.
Like, some of the women are very beautiful. Like, you know, I've developed several crushes, obviously. Even the men, like that Anderson Cooper, just extraordinary look. He looks like sort of Max Headroom.
Yeah,
like,
news droid.
And then who's the guy? This is my favourite guy now, right? The guy who did the fucking map, like, all last week.
John
the
one King.
Mate.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. I mean, you must be laughing to yourself thinking he's new to all this, because I am. I mean, literally, I started watching CNN last Tuesday, right? I'm talking to you now on Monday. Yeah. So I've only been into it for 6 days.
Yeah.
I've watched just that and occasionally football.
Yeah.
But I became just... Obviously, the story of the election was one thing. That was great and exciting and full of tension and all the rest of it. But what I enjoyed more was just the spectacle of CNN and how, when I tuned into it, my awareness of US news channels, like, sort of without actually watching them much myself, was based on the sort of idea that you kind of know if you follow American news at all, that obviously Fox is demented, and I've seen various films and documentaries about Fox, right? And there's several other channels, but the one that's considered the sort of polar opposite is CNN, right? Mm. That's the sort of, And like, you know, Clinton used to call it, Trump used to call it the Clinton News Network and stuff, right? Yeah. But it was almost regarded by Fox viewers and those sorts of people as like this very sort of serious and very liberal and pompous sort of TV channel. So I was expecting that, right? I thought it's the antithesis of Fox. But what was brilliant was you fucking tune in and it's just as bananas in terms of its execution. I mean, its political point of view is different, but it's just that it's so fucking mad and exciting. Yeah. They've got a way that, like, no, I tell you this much, right? This is actually a serious point. They've got an incredible turnout in that election in America, right? Which is really fantastic because traditionally they always had an even worse turnout than us. And everyone sort of, you know, British snobs, oh, well, the Americans don't vote, of course. They're all so stupid and ignorant, right? Well, think again, dickheads, because fucking hundreds of millions of the cunts got out in the middle of a pandemic to vote in this election, which I think is marvellous. But I'm not joking when I say part of that is because of the way that the fucking news is reported out there, right? Mm. Because they make it exciting, compelling, emotional, right? They draw people into it. And it is true that, you know, what they don't have is the same impartiality as, say, we have with the BBC here, no. Right? And I know there'll be people scoffing at that, but don't be a dickhead. The BBC's impartial, right? But the thing is, there is a broad range, right? In fact, CNN were reporting at one point over the weekend on Fox's coverage.
I saw that, yeah.
Which is really meta, right? Yeah. They're going, let's see what Fox are saying about this, because they wanted to know what Fox's, like, what their point of view was on Trump claiming that the whole thing was rigged, because they understood quite rightly that actually Trump can say that shit, but it only is going to carry any credence and legitimacy if he gets his supporters in the media to get behind it.
Well, that's so it. It's an important part of the narrative, isn't it? Because Fox News has sort of dictated everything that Trump's fucking said and done over the 4 years. So to ignore Fox News, if you're CNN, is, you know, you're not covering the whole story.
Were you watching live? Were you lucky enough to be watching live when that geezer started crying?
Yeah, yeah.
I was watching live.
Yeah,
then.
Van Jones,
I fucking knew it. I thought, here we go. We're witnessing history here. I was with both my kids. I said, kids, listen up. He's starting to fucking cry. That's everyone will be talking about this,
I mean,
forever.
Everyone that sort of ignores and poo-poos Black Lives Matter should watch that and listen to what he said. Because, like you say, that was just massive. But
when he said it's easier to be a parent, I mean, my younger sister lives in New York and she's pregnant and is due to have a baby on Christmas Day, right?
Ooh.
And she's my little sister. So having a younger sibling live in a different country, you feel a little bit anxious anyway. Mm. But when that person, that younger sibling, is living in fucking America in 2020 and is going to have a mixed race child on Christmas Day, right? I got to say, part of me is like, fucking hell, this is a tough climate to become a mother in. Right. And so when he said that about it's easier to be a parent for various different reasons, even me, a cold, hard man's man, I became slightly emotional. I didn't say
I'm Sam Delaney, a cold, hard man's man.
Cold, hard man's man, Sam Delaney, spoke out on his thoughts on Joe Biden's historical election victory.
It's not automatically going to get easier overnight. 70 million people voted for Trump, and there's going to be a lot of fucking friction and fallout from all of this. But like you say, the existential dread that you have, and we have here as well. What the fuck is he going to do or say next? What international incident can he provoke or inflame?
I think it's the principle of it. I mean, the practicalities are different, you know. I mean, people thought when Obama got elected, people were crying and getting emotional, thinking how wonderful it was going to be. And obviously, being president, fucking tough job, really complicated. They don't change the world overnight. They sometimes don't change the world much in 8 years. In fact, if you look at American presidents, a lot of them, the only impact they really have of any historical significance is if they fucking start a war, which is really worrying. Because you sort of think, some presidents think, if I'm going to have a legacy, I better start a fucking war.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I can't get anything done here at home. And it's
well,
true. That,
well, Trump was kind of boasting towards the end that his legacy was going to be that he hadn't started a war, for which we should all be grateful, I think.
Watch this fucking space, mate, because he's got a few fucking weeks, hasn't he? Right. And he'll be thinking, oh, fucking hell, I never started a war. Well, might as well now.
I'll get a quick one in.
He's like, that's the thanks I get for not starting a war. They booted me out. Fuck it, I'll start a war then.
It'll probably just start with Canada.
No, I reckon he'll bomb China. I reckon he's the sort of mad cunt who'll want to go take everyone down with him.
Yeah, that's
and
the
so
worry,
think,
isn't it?
You know what? I'm going to start some beef with China. And that'll really, I mean, things will really get fucked up there.
It could go one or two ways, though. It could be that he just can't be fucking arsed and he'll just spend the 7 weeks on the golf course and not do anything. Because he's not a man, he's not an active man, is he? In terms
he's
of.
He's not.
He
but
doesn't,
he is
doesn't thrive on work.
He's driven by, like, you know, rage, anger, bitterness, vengefulness.
Every day that he's been on the golf course.
Those things are quite powerful.
Every day that he's been on the golf course, these past few days since it was announced on Saturday, I'm thinking, fuck, thank fuck, that's one more day where he's not doing some fucking mad shit. We're one day closer to him fucking off.
Yeah.
But I mean, have you seen the theory that he could just step down and put Mike Pence in charge and then Pence can pardon him for all the fucking shit that he's done?
But not to get too deep into it, but the thing is, if he's not being prosecuted, then he can't be. You can't pardon him for something he hasn't formally been charged with.
Can you?
What, so you go, right, this guy's accused of nothing. Mm-hmm. No one's accusing him formally of anything. He's not been charged. Yeah, yeah. But I hereby say that any crime that he is ever accused of in the future of committing, I pardon him for in advance.
Yeah, yeah. Pre-pardon.
That can happen.
It's like pre-parking. When you pay for your parking before you actually fuck off.
Yeah, yeah, or like Hootsuite, when people sometimes do a tweet, but they can't be bothered tweeting it later, so they schedule it in.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly like that. Well, Gerald Ford pardoned Nixon. Nixon didn't end up getting charged for anything.
Yeah, but Nixon was under Clinton. Trump's not under active investigation for any crimes, is he? These are all just allegations.
No, I think he is.
In the press.
I think he is. On the quiet, yeah. I'm sure there's going to be some charges ready for when he steps out of office. I mean, you take your pick. There's tax evasion, there's rape, collusion with Russia, involvement with Jeffrey Epstein and all that. You know, there's a fucking smorgasbord of potential crimes that you get charged with when he leaves the White House.
Listen, right, so, this is indiscreet, but fuck it. Nope. I know someone who worked very, very closely with Theresa May when she was Prime Minister and was so close that this person actually sat with Trump in the White House having a meeting with just three other people in the room. So it was this person, Theresa May, Trump, and her, and this person's equivalent, right? And they told me that literally this was the first meeting between them. And Theresa May was astonished because Donald Trump she was trying to talk about trade, Brexit, blah, blah, blah. He only wanted to discuss potential property deals that he wanted her in Britain, presumably where he wanted to build more golf courses.
Yeah.
That he just wanted to talk to her about the nitty gritty of getting permission and blah, blah, blah. Like he was having trouble and she needed to oil the wheels of it.
Yeah.
And she's going, so it's really great. And I hope that our two great countries can continue to work. And he's going, yeah. Listen, right. I've got this, got a fucking golf course plan.
I've got this scheme.
In Aberdeenshire, right? But the locals have fucking done some sort of petition, right? Because I'm going to have to knock down a load of housing. So I'm wondering whether you could see your way fit to just waving this one through, right? I've got you here, like...
We'll give you 20% off all the chlorinated chicken that you want, but I need you to get rid of this petition, you know what I mean? But that's the thing, though. People have always said that him running for presidency in the first place was always meant to be like a brand enhancing exercise.
Yeah.
He's never meant to become president. That wasn't part of the idea.
Yeah, that's what people said. And I mean, the 4 years have flown by quickly, haven't they?
God, it has, thank fuck, yeah.
When it happened, there was a lot of people saying, don't worry, he wasn't expecting this. He's as surprised as anyone. He won't do the 4 years. He'll quit once he realises it's a hassle. But everything that people clung to on that basis turned out to be wrong. I was one of the people, and I don't take pride in this, but I'll admit it, is that I was one of the people saying, I remember saying to my wife, thing is, I was going, Donald Trump, everyone says, oh, he's a racist and he's this, that and the other. I said, it's complete hyperbole and over the top. The bloke's a prick. I said, but he's a New Yorker who's fucking worked in the media his whole life, right? He's going to, you know, the sort of people he knows and has sort of lived around, he'll have, he'll, he won't, he's not a fucking Klansman from the South. I said, you know, he's just, what he is he's a dope. And he doesn't stand on ceremony, he doesn't speak or communicate in the way that we're used to seeing politicians communicate. And he doesn't really have much time for all the protocols and conventions. I said, so he's an arsehole, but don't get all fucking everyone thinking, well, he must be. Because I thought that it was that sort of, you get that middle class liberal sort of pearl clutching, where anyone who talks a bit differently, you kind of think, oh, they're so monstrous. So do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's true, though. It's like, you know, it happens in this country as well. If you've got a regional accent, there'll be a lot of people who assume that you're like a fucking racist hooligan or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, of course. If you've got a shaved head as well, and you're a white man.
You're a West Ham fan, right? But people, I thought, I never thought Trump was a good guy. I always thought he was awful, but I thought he's kind of incompetent. There'll be competent people around him. He doesn't have enough political opinions to be much to be any real threat or danger. And actually, all the stuff about him being fascistic or racist or misogynist is probably just exaggerated by people who can't fucking understand someone behaving in this way. Mm. But I was
wrong.
I was wrong. I was wrong on all of those levels. And that's the thing. You often, there's a narrative that surrounds people that seems a little bit too convenient or almost cliched for you to actually believe. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you think that can't be true because it's too obvious.
Yeah.
It's too much of an easy answer. But what I'm learning as I get older, Andy, is that very often the easy answer turns out to be the actual answer.
Yeah.
So I've been listening to, over the weekend when I wasn't playing Monopoly, I was running and listening to the audiobook of Arsene Wenger's book, because, of we'll be watching him in conversation.
Is it read by Arsene Wenger himself?
Oh, yes.
Oh, and there you go, then.
For that reason, it is extremely special.
That's going on my list after Mariah Carey's.
It is so good that he reads it, because it's basically like if we were doing a parody of what Arsene Wenger's book would be like. We can't deep dive this book because he's already done it, right?
Brilliant.
First of all, his French accent is so French that it sounds like John Cleese doing an impression of a Frenchman. You know, like in the Holy Grail, where he goes, ah, it's a book, or when he goes, oh, it's only wafer thin. It's like that, right? It's like when he goes, you know, so there's that, the accent, but it's also the things he says are like the sort of crude xenophobic stereotypes that only Top Flight Time Machine is usually capable of performing. Actually, that's unfair. It's a really good book. I mean, it's genuinely good, and he's obviously extremely intelligent and it's well written. But it's so funny, the fact that we're used to reading these books by, like, Kevin Keegan or whatever. Or I recently read the Terry McDermott one, which is the most, like, fucking will this two cunts book I've ever read, right? And it's just like, and then we had Stoke Away on the Sunday. I can't remember much about what happened, but we had a great few beers after the game. This is how Wenger's book goes. It is there in the beautiful countryside of Alsace, surrounded by men of the earth, that I learned what it meant to be a man, if any of us can truly know, I suppose. The farm men with their rough hands smoking their fidelis gitan. They would sit and I would listen to them, their hopes, their aspirations, the dreams, their existential malaise that all of us must endure through our lives. Right, and I'm thinking, fucking hell, mate. What about Alan Shearer?
He just sexual said, fantasies.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's absolutely, like, it's nonsense. But what I was thinking was, what he describes himself as and what he genuinely comes across as is a man who is so obsessed in such a deep and sort of philosophical and over-the-top way with football that it's sort of like an unhealthy addiction and obsession, right? And it's, and he goes, you know, it's all he ever thinks about. It's all that matters. He doesn't think that anyone else when he works with players or coaches or anyone, should have anything else that matters to them at all other than football.
Yeah.
And when you're not training, you have to do the invisible training, which means that away from the training ground, you need to be every single decision you make, right, needs to be completely dictated by maximising your performance level in the next game. Yeah. Whether that's like how you spend your time at home, who you talk to, what you eat, what you drink, what you watch on the box, how much sleep, everything.
So personality disorder then. Football is a personality disorder.
Yeah, and he will not absolutely just not fucking contemplate working with people who don't have that attitude. And I was thinking to myself, this is sort of what we all suspected about Arsene Wenger for so long. But I always thought, nah, it's just a lazy sort of interpretation of Arsene Wenger because he's French and he wears glasses. And therefore, people go, you know, it's the sort of like the character assessment of whoever was fucking running the sports desk at the Sun the day he was hired. Oh, looks like some sort of fucking bookish nerd. And he's
got them all eating pasta. What the fuck's that about?
Exactly, reading fucking philosophy and eating broccoli, the fucking weirdo, right? But guess what? That, you know, this is the same as what I was saying about Trump. The easy explanation turns out to be the right one because that is what Wenger is. He is I don't mean this in a mad way, in a mean way, but he is fucking weird. He is an obsessive.
Yeah, yeah.
And he does think, in my opinion, overly deeply about football.
Which is, as we know, a stupid child's game.
It's a great book. He takes credit for quite a lot of things, though, as well, because he basically goes, I just got to meet with George Weah, who goes, at Monaco, Mark Haitley had quite a few injuries, so we needed to get a replacement. And I found out about this young lad from Liberia, is it, that George Weah is from?
Yeah.
Right? He goes, he wasn't very good when he came. I mean, he was quite lightweight. The players thought he was useless. But I stuck with him because I knew there was a player in there. Anyway, cut a long story short. Let's fast forward to the 1995 fucking... What do they give? What's the player, the world player called?
The Ballon d'Or.
The fucking Ballon d'Or in Milan. I happen to be in town with Arsenal.
Top prize. Ring, ring.
Who is it? George Weah. I want you to come to the ceremony. All right, fuck it. I've got a spare half hour. I fucking went along. Didn't have a formal invite. Security guards wouldn't let me in, right? So George got involved, right? Squared it with them, so I get in. Imagine the look on those cunts' faces 2 hours later when I walk out holding the Ballon d'Or, right? Why, you might ask? I'll fucking tell you. Because Weah's got up on stage and fucking dragged me up there and given it to me because he said that I was the player of the year because he held everything to me, right? Because he was shit before he met me and I made him best player in the world. Fuck off, everyone. Next question.
And now I keep it in my utility room on top of my washing machine.
It's a fucking classic story. He's so fucked up with his security guards all these years later that he still wants to make a point.
Yeah.
Imagine the look on that. All right, cunts, recognise that. That's right, it's a Ballon fucking d'Or. It's just been given to me because I'm such a fucking legend.
Needless to say, I had the last laugh.
Jalapeño.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you wouldn't be hearing this brief but annoying message if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Jalapeño.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
But yeah, that thing you say about it being the easy answer being the right one, it's that thing that people say, isn't it? When someone shows you who they are, believe them. And I think, you know, we've had that with Trump in the last few years.
Yeah, I think that that's been a flaw in my assessment of various people and things.
Over the years.
when I do think that. I think when I was younger, people go, oh, well, the thing about them is, and they do, they make what I assume is just a superficial and two-dimensional explanation of someone, right? And I kind of think, no, there must be more to that. You're just being a lazy cunt. But all too often, the lazy explanation turns out to be
it's
correct.
The true one, yeah.
I think I've been looking for too much nuance in people.
Yeah, trying to see the good in people, possibly.
Yeah, well, it's like my mum's got that song that she sings. I'm never quite sure who she's singing it about or to, but she will sometimes stomp around the house, beaming, doing double Vs, one on each hand, and singing, once a cunt, always a cunt, once a cunt, always a cunt, right? And I've always thought, what's she singing that about? And I go, what are you talking about? She goes, well, any cunt, once a cunt, always a cunt. And now
I thought you were going to say it was the Steve Coogan song from the outtakes of The Trip. Everybody's a bit of a cunt sometimes. Oh, yeah.
Well, that's true. And that everyone's true. A bit of a Lampard sometimes as well, aren't they?
True. I've got some TV and online viewing recommendations, Sam.
Oh, great.
I've been watching Educating Greater Manchester, which is back. It's the latest in, you know, those behind-the-scenes secondary school documentary series. It's the second series of Educating Greater Manchester. And there's a bit of drama around this one because the head teacher is no longer at the school. And I think it plays out during this series. I won't say why he's no longer there, but I've looked it up. It's not that interesting, but it will be part of the thing. But I've been watching it with my son, who is now at secondary school. Yeah. And, of course, so much of it rings true with him. And it's brilliant sitting watching it along with him.
I'm gonna make my daughter watch it.
Yeah, and one of the bits in the first episode that we watched, there's like a black economy going on in the school, and there's kids that sell sweets out of their bags,
like Gonch from Grange
like
Hill.
Like Gonch, yeah. Now this never happened at my school when I was secondary school.
It was something that I saw Gonch doing, and I felt that it made me feel inadequate, or it made me feel my school was inadequate because we didn't have a playground entrepreneur, a playground spiv.
Maybe Gonch started it. Maybe it didn't happen anywhere until it was included in Grinch Hill with Gonch. But like, you've got this kid and he's going, I buy three packets of Starburst for a quid and I sell them for 50p each. So that's you know, that's some profit. Lucozade, that's the best. I can buy five bottles of Lucozade for a quid, sell them for a quid each, £5 profit. I make 25 quid a day. And it's all this is going on. And my son's saying, yeah, this happens at our school as well. I'm like, whoa, really? And I'm saying, do you sell stuff? He's going, no, I don't get involved. I said, have you bought stuff? Now and again, yeah, I buy something now and again. Because they don't have tuck shops in schools anymore. We had tuck shops when we were kids. They're not allowed sweets. Sweets are like heroin. They're just not allowed on the premises.
At my son's school, primary school, that's very true. Like, you're not allowed a treat in your lunchbox apart from on Friday, right?
Right.
And even then, I think you're allowed sugar, but you're not even allowed crisps in the week, right?
Mm.
So that's one extreme. But at my daughter's school, right, they've got fucking franchises in there, right?
Wow.
And they all have a fucking payment system, which is registered to their fingerprint.
Yeah.
Right? And they sell them all kinds of crap. And I don't know if the school is making money out of this back end or what, but I think it's really bad.
What sort of crap? Like private sweets and stuff?
Yeah.
They've legitimised the black market economy. Yeah.
There's like, you know those sort of large pretzels that they have in America? So not like a crunchy pretzel in a bag, but one you can hold in your hand. Mm-hmm. They have sugary ones of those.
Fucking hell.
Fucking madness, mate.
So that eradicates the lads in the corner of the yard selling things out of their bag and stuff like that?
Yeah, because the school are thinking, it's like
Why should these cunts make the money when we could be doing it?
Well, it's like one of the arguments for legalising drugs, isn't it? It's like you might as well charge VAT on it and fucking get the money into the Treasury's coffers, right? And that's what the school have thought. They thought, why are these cunts? We've heard about a couple of lads who are selling sugary pretzels, you know, the big the big kind, round the back of the science pots, right? So we're sending the PE teachers out tonight, like in Prohibition times, with some baseball bats. We know where they stash them, and they're going to smash the fucking pretzels to pieces, right? And then torch them. And when those cunts come in the morning, all they'll see is ashes. And then the next thing they'll see is our own school indoors fucking sugary pretzel stand in the middle of the playground. Yeah, your move, exactly, cunts.
Well, that's what I said to me. So I said, this is just like Prohibition. You know, when I was a kid, you could take sweets and stuff into school, but now it's banned, so therefore a market springs up where you've got kids that are, it's supply and demand, isn't it? It happens.
Exactly.
But, so that's good. So that's Educating Greater Manchester. The other thing, 24 hours in police custody is back with a two-part special, which was on last night, and the second part's on tonight. That's very good. That's about
what
heroin.
Channel's that on?
That's Channel 4.
Right.
That's about heroin dealers and a big heroin importer. And the third and final thing that I've seen this weekend, I'll just describe it to you and just tell me good thing or bad thing. It's Jerry Halliwell. It's what appears to be a self-produced YouTube series where Jerry plays Queen Elizabeth I. Is that a good thing or a bad thing, Sam?
Good thing.
It can only be a good thing, can't it?
It's a fucking great thing. I mean, almost anything Jerry Halliwell's involved in is good because it's so entertaining.
Of course it is. Thankfully, each episode's only about 4.5 minutes long. But there you go. It doesn't appear to be sponsored by anybody. It doesn't appear to be promoting anything else, linked into any kind of larger thing.
She's just done it for a laugh.
She's just done it. Yeah.
I know someone who worked with her once who claimed that on a video she said that she wanted a unicorn. And they said, well, it's a bit short notice. We'll try. And they said, we're going to have to see if we can hire, like, a pony and then get someone to, like, put a you know, what do they call them things?
A horn on it, yeah.
And she went mental. She went, I did not say I wanted a fucking pony with a horn on it. I said I wanted a fucking unicorn. And they were all looking at each other like, fucking hell. I think she thinks the unicorns are a real thing. But no one had the balls to tell her.
Her name now is Jerry Horner, isn't it? So maybe she married a fella who puts the horns on unicorns because he could provide her with a unicorn whenever she needed one.
I also, just thinking. I'm going to have to refresh my memory of these stories for a future episode, but I knew some people who worked at Virgin Radio back in the days when Chris Evans was in charge of the original Virgin Radio.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is like the 90s when, you know, he was flying high. And I don't know if you remember, but he briefly dated Jerry Halliwell.
He did, yeah.
And she was in and out of the radio station quite a lot. And in fact, for a short period, kind of made it like her daily office. She just rocks up there with her dog and they all had to run around for her because she was... Chris Evans wasn't just the breakfast show host, he was the boss of the station.
He owned the station, didn't he? Yeah.
So she just started hanging about, thinking, yeah, I can just hang about there. They all work for me. And there was quite a few good stories from those days. But even when she acts diva-ish, it's a bit like with Mariah. You can't resent her for it. You just respect her more.
Yeah.
For the sheer insanity of her behaviour.
Yeah, she's great. I love Jerry.
Yeah.
So that's what I've been watching. Update on the Prediction League, Sam, at the weekend. Mm. You got 2 points. I got 6 points. Fucking results bot got 7 points. There was 2-1-0 wins in there. Including West Ham Fulham. How good was that fucking penalty?
By Luckman
at the end.
I mean, you can imagine how stressful it was watching that game.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, it was fucking madness watching that game. I'd already been stressed out from 3 days of the American election, right? And then just as that sort of fucking reached its conclusion, that game with the last minute winner, which actually should have been offside, I realised afterwards, but whatever. We all have it happen against us, don't we? So you might as well just fucking take it when you can. And then that fucking... I had a feeling. I know people always say this, but I looked at the lad. I thought, I've never heard of this cunt. He's new to the Premier League. He looks young. This is a high-pressure situation for anyone, let alone a lad like him who's just turned up in the Premier League. Still hasn't made a name for himself. And then I said, he's not the usual penalty taker. Mitrovic is, but Mitrovic had missed last week. Fucking hell. I would have bet on Mitrovic burying that. I mean, he's a mad cunt, isn't he?
You'd have thought Mitrovic would have just wiped clean the memory of missing last week and just stepped up and blasted it, wouldn't you? If he's the fucking lunatic.
Let me tell you, Scott Parker. I have seen many things and experienced many horrors. Things that no man should see. Okay? Many of which are a million times worse than a trifling matter of missing penalty. Right?
You should see the state of my waste disposal unit in my kitchen. I'll say no more.
A man like me must train himself to erase the memory of every small trauma the moment it is concluded. This is a skill of mine that I will now impart to you. Now, I'm sorry, Mr. Milosevic. It is Mitrovic. I'm going to let young Luckman take the penalty. You will regret this to your dying day, Scott Parker. Mark my words.
This will haunt you forevermore.
Did you see a picture that someone sent us of an eel escaping from the guts of a heron?
No, I did
fucking
not. I would have remembered
the reason that.
The reason that
popped into my head was when I was thinking about the horrors that Mitrovic must have eradicated from his mind's eye. I was thinking, I wonder what the maddest thing or the most horrifying thing Mitrovic has ever seen.
Yeah.
And then it made me think, we had a long-running feature on this show, which was, what's the weirdest thing you've ever seen? And mine was a heron fighting with an eel, right?
Yeah.
And now I realise that I can't have just dreamt that, because it turns out herons and eels are a thing, right?
Yeah.
And there's this fucking eel, the heron had eaten it, then it took off, right? Was flying away. Ah, lovely. Got a nice big eel in me gox. That'll keep me going till tomorrow lunch, right? That's what he's thinking as he's flying away, right? Do you know what the eel did? Think again, prick, right? The eel fucking somehow worked his way out in midair of the heron's guts, right? And
what,
there's this picture.
What, out of the guts? What, out of the arse? Out of the mouth? What?
The underbelly. It eats its way out, right?
Fuck!
Through its stomach lining and out.
Yes!
So this picture, right, it's very much like Alien, right? This picture is of a heron in flight and a fucking eel just fucking suddenly appearing, bang, out of its stomach and then just jumping out. Just jumps for it. It's a proper like TTFN dickhead and he just jumps back down.
Nature is disgusting, isn't it?
It's disgusting. It's fucking amazing, this picture. Incredible.
Do you want to update everyone on the All Right Cunts phenomenon that we've
We're pleased with the way All Right Cunts has been going. So we requested last week, if you missed it, that, you know, following
the
tradition.
It was a Tune Machine, wasn't it? So not everyone heard it.
Oh, it was Tune Machine, yeah. So if you don't subscribe, you type dickhead, right, then you might not have heard. But on Tune Machine, we thought of this new item called All Right Cunts, right? Based on a couple of pictures. One was of a hawk, a bird of prey, doing somewhere between the Cockney strut and the Manc swagger, right? It was slightly Liam Gallagher. It was slightly Danny Dyer. It was somewhere between the two. But it was a bird walking on its hind legs. Then we had Joe Biden's long-lost British cousin giving it, with his arms splayed out in his chair, giving it an all right cunt. So just send us images or clips from films or TV
gifts
or whatever.
Or anything like that.
Or examples of classic cases of all right cunts, right? And thanks for your responses so far, because they've been wonderful. Rob Welch has been in touch.
There's a fantastic one just come in. Yeah. While we've been recording this, of Mr. Blobby. Can you see that one? From Manny LUFC 1919.
Let's have a look here.
It's coming 9 minutes ago.
So we've got... Okay. We've got Sooty. Sooty with a wand saying, all right, cunts. It's quite good. Mr. Blobby. Mr. Blobby, thanks Greg for that. Mr. Blobby is so far king. That leads from a couple of people. Rob Welch was one of them. I can't remember who the other one was. Sent us a great Darth Vader. All right, cunts.
Yeah.
One is the one that Rob Welch sent us was of the bit in Empire Strikes Back. which has always been one of my favourite scenes in a film ever, is when Lando walks Leia and Han Solo into that weird space dining room he's got, right? And he goes, oh yeah, come in here, like they're going to have a bit of lunch, right, in his space station. And Darth Vader's just fucking sat there at the end of the table with some weird, like, teapots and shit in front of him. And he just gives it, all right, cunts, surprise the fucking prize. Bet you weren't expecting to see me, were you? And the other classical right passage is like pretty much the opening scene of the first Star Wars movie where he boards that rebel starship when they've sort of docked because they're looking for the plans of the Death Star, and the doors blow up and the stormtroopers run out, and then through the smoke you see Darth Vader for the first time. It's like, all right, cons. So that's really good. Alien, another one that Rob Welch sent was Alien, of course, bursting out of John Hurt's stomach. That's a classic all right cunt. Someone sent us, Rob Walsh has sent us on Twitter, Jack Nicholson through the door in The Shining. That's a decent one.
But what we will say, if you're going to send these to us with all right cunts in your tweets, be careful, because Twitter does not like the word cunts, and you can find yourself picking up a random ban.
I've been banned. You must have been banned before for
I wasn't
use
banned
the word
because
cunt.
I had a verified account, and I think you can fucking see anything on a verified account.
You've got full
banned.
Cunt privileges, have you? It makes me sick.
One
word for you guys, and one word for the oi polloi like me.
So
anyway,
if you want to star out the cunts,
just star it out, or if not, email it to us. It's more fun on Twitter, so just star out the cunt. We don't usually like the idea of censoring swear words, but in this case, we've been forced to by fucking Sir John Twitter, who must be some sort of religious nut.
Yeah.
Right?
Bible Belt Deep South fucking knobhead.
Yeah.
So that's that. Keep them coming in. And we've got tentative plans to do more with this towards the end of the year, but we'll keep that under our hats until we can work out.
Yeah, but keep sending us more, because we've got something special up our sleeve, and it'll be really interactive. We love to interact with our community. So important. We see ourselves as a family. Do we, fuck?
It's a community.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Et cetera, et cetera. Just to be more blunt about it, other podcasts will bullshit you. Just send us stuff that we can turn into
content
and get glory from, and
possibly
money. So if you're up for doing that, please do.
Yeah, thank you. So that's about it. Just the predictions there, just to let you know, you're now on 28, I'm on 28 as well, and results bottom 25.
Very casual mind games.
All to play for. Just
it's not a big deal,
that.
But I've drawn level. Yeah. Can I just leave you one thought, just to bring it back up, back to where we started when I said
please
I've been playing a lot of Monopoly.
I like it when that happens, yeah.
Couple of things that I meant at the beginning of the podcast, but we got waylaid, which is unlike us, to be fair. We usually just laser focused. Two things about Monopoly. One is we both have character names in Monopoly. So we basically are warring landlords.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And I am Charlie Reardon. And I started off just as on a market stall doing the fruit and veg. Yeah. I've worked my way up. And invested. I've just fucking sheer hard work.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Has got me from a market stall, right, doing the fruit and veg, up to being one of London's most powerful property owners. Right. But here's
another
thing.
House of Lords surely awaits Charlie Reardon.
Yeah. but the other thing is, do you know when you go to prison in Monopoly? Right, you know, you go to that jail. Sometimes you're just visiting, aren't you? But sometimes you get sent
to
jail.
Do not collect £200.
Now, I don't know if you can remember this, but cast your mind back, because it brought back a lot of childhood memories. The face of the man who is illustrated as being in jail in Monopoly is the saddest, scariest, loneliest face I have ever seen.
Is he wearing one of those convict hats?
No, he's
not.
Okay. Maybe the American one's different, because when we were kids, someone brought back from holiday one of New York, and all the things were slightly different and more exciting. But this one, I think it's the same, and this man is fucked, right? He is like, his face is all drawn and gaunt, right?
Yeah.
He's hollow-eyed, he's unshaven, and his hands are up at the bars like he's pleading you, let me out, right?
Yeah.
And
I'm looking at him now. Fucking hell.
I don't know. I'd like to find out more. I don't know whether he's got a Wikipedia page. He's like, I'd like to know his backstory, what he's in there for.
Jesus.
But the look in his eyes, it's really broken him. And I remember that from playing a lot again recently, it brought back memories of childhood playing Monopoly. And I remember that face filled me with dread. and fear every time I saw it. Like, if I got sent to prison, I would become, like, quite emotional, like I was going to cry, because I thought, shit, I'm that man now. I am that man. No Did one wants know? To be the prisoner from Monopoly, because he's the worst man alive.
Get this, I've just looked this up. He has a name.
Oh, this is what I wanted. What's you know his fucking name?
You know that Rich Uncle Pennybags is the little fella, the rich cunt. And actually, his name is actually Milburn Pennybags.
Oh, of course it fucking is. That's his name. Easy
the,
life.
The
He's not like
jail.
Charlie Reardon, self-made.
Yeah, the fella in jail is called Jake the Jailbird. Which is a bit of a letdown. I think.
I wanted it to be something a lot more. Yeah.
And the police officer who sends him to jail on the board is called Officer Edgar Mallory. How about that?
yeah, there's that one. He's always pointing at the jail. Go to jail. Yeah. Go to jail. Mallory. Jake. They're Jake all, the you know, it's a fucked up world, but that is the capitalistic world we live in, mate.
It is. And it's all there. Always has been. Always will
and
be.
And some of us, and you're either that fucking Lampard policeman, you're the fucking trumped up, fucking rich cunts in the top hat, penny bags, or you're Jake the Jailbird.
So who's Len's character?
I can't remember his name.
Oh, okay.
But he's a bit more upmarket than me.
Typical fucking Reed and that, not caring about anything but himself.
Couldn't give a shit. I'm just staying focused. Now, I did have the name, but I've forgotten it, and I can't guess because I've guessed before about some of Len's creations, and he goes ape shit at me if he finds out.
Well, just find out before Friday's episode and tell us then.
Right. He went mental at me for talking about them leaving the glasses out on the podcast because he overheard that. And he went, I've had it with you talking about us leaving glasses out. So what? Big deal. Sometimes glasses are left out. Why do you have to talk about it?
That's the sound of a man who feels very guilty, I think.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
I just sat back and laughed.
Well,
yeah.
You know.
Keep barking, little doggy. That's it. Wear yourself out. I know a guilty cunt when I hear one.
Right, that's it from this one. More coming up during the week, of course. Thanks for listening, everyone. Keep it cunty, TTFN, I guess.
TTFN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.